Nah, not those Lions. Three Lions we can get behind.
And he hoofed it.
There's more pressure being ratcheted up with a loss like that, of course.
Just getting the head boxed off, should that just kind of happen.
For all your Lions coverage this summer, download the OTB Sports app.
2021 British and Irish Lions Tour.
On Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on Newstalk. Shane Hannan with you right through until 8 p.m. this evening. And it's all Lions as we head towards this first test. The British and Irish Lions taking on South Africa, of course, from 5 p.m. Irish time this evening. There's been some action in the hurling as well this afternoon, I should mention as well. Before we go there, to the lads, Clare and Cork in action from 4:30. We'll have updates across the evening from Brendan Bugler, the former Clare star, once that game gets underway, and we'll chat to him after the match, of course, as well. Full-time from Seppa Stadium in Thurles, Waterford 1-30. Galway 3-20. So Waterford had a 12-point advantage at half-time in that match, but Galway in the second half pulling it right back to 4 points at the full-time whistle. So Waterford, though, it is who progress to the next stage. That was the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship round two of the qualifiers, and plenty of Olympics action as well to keep you on top of. The Irish women's hockey team off to a winning start at the Olympics. Roisin Upton and Sarah Torrens scoring in either half as Sean Dancer's team registered a 2-0 win over South Africa in their pool opener in Tokyo. But as I said, it's all rugby from this point on up until 8 o'clock mostly. The 2021 British and Irish Lions Tour on OTB Sports is brought to you with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions. Delighted to say our own Neil Tracy, who'll be on commentary with Brian O'Driscoll for this evening's game from 5 o'clock, joins me on the line now. Afternoon, Neil.
Afternoon, Shane. How are you doing?
Keeping well, Neil. Keeping well. Looking forward to this one. It's been a while coming. We finally got there, but there's been a bit of a late injury update or a bit of news from the Lions camp today.
There has, and it's been kind of a running theme of these games, Shane, over the last few weeks, where we have had late changes on a regular basis. Some of those have been in dramatic circumstances, notably that game a few weeks ago, the second game of the tour when they were taking on the Sharks, and we had a host of changes. We had 8 players withdrawn from the match day 23, 4 from the starting team and 4 from the bench. But there is just one change made late on in the day this time round, and it's coming in the front row, where Wyn Jones, who had done excellently to hold off competition from Rory Sutherland and from Mako Vunipola, and scored a try as well, remember, scored the Lions' only try in that defeat against South Africa 10 days ago. He is out. He's picked up a shoulder injury in training on Thursday, according to the Lions. He did go off injured in that game just after he had scored a try with a shoulder injury of his own and hadn't played since. So not sure if the two of those are related shoulder injuries. The Lions wouldn't confirm that. But he is out, unfortunately. He was due to start, wear the number one shirt alongside Luke Cowan-Dickie and Tadhg Furlong in the front row. Rory Sutherland of Scotland. What a day it's going to be for him now. He's thrown in and he's going to start at loose head prof. And Mako Vunipola, veteran Lion, this is going to be his 7th Lions test match. The 30-year-old English prop, who did have a lot of difficulty against Franz Malherbe, who's also on the South African bench when they played in the Rugby World Cup final back in November 2019. So it's going to be interesting when the two of those players are on late on in the game, maybe in the last 30 minutes. I'd imagine South Africa might be hoping there's going to be a lot of scrums there. But yeah, one change for the Lions. In comes Rory Sutherland. Mako Vunipola is onto the bench. And then Wyn Jones has been ruled out with an injury. So it means that just 3 of the starting team today actually started against South Africa 10 days ago, and that's Maro Itoje, Tom Curry and Anthony Watson. And just to remind you of the rest of the Lions team, so we're going to have Rory Sutherland, Luke Cowan-Dickie and Tadhg Furlong in the front row. That's the same front row that started last Saturday against the Stormers. You also have Rory Sutherland and Tadhg Furlong, who have played together on every single game they've played so far. So thankfully a bit of continuity among the combinations, which we hadn't really seen elsewhere in this team. So Rory Sutherland and Tadhg Furlong, this is going to be their fifth game together on tour. Then in the second row, Maro Itoje and Alan Wyn-Jones playing his 10th test match in a Lions shirt. Just an absolutely staggering record for him. And a back row then, Courtney Laws, Jack Conan and Tom Curry. Ali Price, who got the nod ahead of Conor Murray, starts at scrum half alongside Wales' Dan Biggar, who scored 24 points so far on the tour. It's Robbie Henshaw and Elliot Daly in the centres, same centre partnership as last week. Anthony Watson, Stuart Hogg and Duane van der Merwe complete the side in the back three, with Ken Owens, Mako Vunipola, Kyle Sinclair, Tadhg Byrne, Hamish Watson, Conor Murray, Owen Farrell and Liam Williams among the bench, Shane.
Great stuff, Neil. We'll check in again, no doubt, before the kickoff at 5 p.m. I know Brian Driscoll is alongside you on commentary, and Alan Quinlan will join us very shortly to look ahead to this game. But first, Brian O'Driscoll is on the line with us, former Irish and Lion international, of course. Brian, afternoon. How are you keeping?
Good afternoon. How's things?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Excited for this one. Like this news coming out of the camp today, Wyn Jones being ruled out. I mean, it's a late shout. It's a late headache for Warren Gatland. Do you think it'll have any impact? Is it a big blow for the Lions?
I think any blow in your starting 15 is going to have some form of impact. The fact that they knew that he was gone since Thursday would have given Sutherland an opportunity to get his head around starting. And obviously Mako, you know, coming in, and you could be sure that he'll have an impact, be it 25, 30 minutes when the replacements are unleashed from the bench. So it's not ideal because you want to be playing with a full deck, but that's the reality of the attritional game that you play then in South Africa, and sometimes you get a little bit of friendly fire from your own pick up injuries in high intensity sessions. So they'll make do, but it does feel as though from a scrummaging point of view you probably are missing something, because Wyn Jones has been in phenomenal form for Wales over the course of the last year.
What do you make of, Ronan McGarry was talking on the show during the week, and he was talking about the combinations on this team and maybe the lack of game time some of them have together. Like, it's an interesting point, like the familiarity you have with certain players in that team. Like, you look at like Tadhg Furlong and Luke Cowan-Dickey got 48 minutes together last weekend, which was positive. But of this team, I mean, not a lot of them have played together, whereas the South Africans are well used to each other. Does that have any impact on these tests?
Yeah, it's quite Lions-esque, isn't it? You know, you don't have that many opportunities to put together these combinations, but more often than not, the coach will have an idea as to who he might see playing in that first test. Things seem to be quite different on this tour. Obviously, there's been different circumstances that have affected decision-making when it comes to picking a first 15 for all of the warm-up games because of COVID, because of different circumstances that have been presented themselves. So there's been a big, it's a Lions tour like no other. There's been massive adjustment to those different circumstances. In a perfect world, you would have certainly your halfbacks having had a couple of starts together. And for me, that's the only one that I'd have a bit of concern around. The second row have played together 4 years ago, the back row. That integration is important, but not as key at scrum half and out half, where you need to know what one are doing. You need to have one person really boss, which you would anticipate Bam Bigger will do. But we saw how Price had a little bit of a struggle with Owen Farrell in one of the Sharks games. It took them a half to kind of adjust and bed down their partnership. You can't afford that in a test match. You've got to hit the ground running. Otherwise, a team like South Africa will make you pay. So I'll be really keeping a keen eye on how that partnership develops in the first kind of 10 or 15 minutes.
Like Warren Gatland, interestingly, was talking in the build-up, Brian, about this, the bone-on-bone at training sessions ahead of this one. And like, is that like a boxer preparing for a fight by getting punched in the face? Or is there an actual, you know, sound logic, I guess, to conditioning your body to come up against these brutes of South African players?
It's, you know, happy medium, isn't it, really? You know, you think about the season that these Lions players have had. You know, they'd barely a break after the restart of last year's season back in July, August, you know, a 2 or 3 week break and then straight into a full season. And, you know, conversely, you look at what the Springboks have had. Now, you can weigh up which is the better option, to be battle hardened or to be fresh. I think it's probably a mixture of the both, but in reality, it does feel as though the box potentially could be undercooked. But you know, the Lions have to be ready for the attritional rate that's going to be thrown at them. It's the way the box have always played the game. They're going to revert to type what won them the World Cup 2 years ago, nearly 2 years ago. And the fact that they haven't had a chance to develop and refine their game plan means they will go back to what has been successful for them previously. So it's going to be confrontational. It's going to be physical. There's going to be lots of niggle. And the Lions have had to prepare themselves for that this week and over the course of the tour, be it, you know, obviously in the games, but also even 5 and 10 minute hits throughout the week to make sure that they're ready for what's coming at them.
Like that South African physicality and the yapping in the ears of the Lions players that we're going to expect to happen this evening. Like, I mean, it's the enforcers that, you know, the South African teams have enforcers, like even the Lions and England teams. Mario Tozier kind of does a job to similar effect, like riling opposition up within the law. Is that something you'd like to see the Lions players do more of? Because, you know, I think Gatland even spoke about Duan van der Merwe and the riling he is undoubtedly going to come up against starting this game this evening. Is that something you'd like to see the Lions players kind of do more of?
I don't think you can force it. You got to do what comes naturally to your game that gets you hyped and ready for your ultimate performance. And if that is a bit of chippiness, a little bit of back chat, a little bit of sledging, well, that's your thing. Fine, you go with it. You still remember this is an amalgamation of a bunch, ultimately a bunch of strangers that are coming together to combine. So you can't, you know, you can't force people into doing something that ordinarily they wouldn't do when they play test match rugby. But you'd hope that they'll certainly stand up to the likes of Etzebeth. I think a big loss for South Africa, being honest, is Dwayne Vermeulen at number eight. Quagga Smith is a very different type of number eight, but not someone that kind of throws his weight around, you know, diminutive in comparison to Vermeulen. And so you have to look at where that's going to come from a South African point of view, other than Etzebeth. Khaleesi, it's not really him, maybe a bit from Du Toit, but it's not like the Lions or the Springbok team of, you know, 2009, when you look at Bakis Botha, you look at, you know, some of the other absolute enforcers across, you know, Smith, Oz Duran, these guys that were known for throwing it around. So I think you'll see a bit of it, but the Lions can't get caught up in trying to be pulled away from their game plan and their focus. They've got to do that what comes naturally to them and what they've practiced for the week, and hope that the physical side of the game looks after itself.
You mentioned Quagga Smith there, and that battle with Jack Conan is quite interesting tonight, because both lighter number eights than we've maybe experienced in the past, and that could be a crucial battle this evening.
Yeah, listen, I don't know if you would call, you know, Jack Conan a light number eight. He's still a big man. He's, you know, extremely explosive. We've only gotten a sense of what sort of player he can be over the last 6 months because of the injury run that he's suffered in recent times. And he's probably the one player in that pack that's really played his way into contention. I don't think many people would have been picking him in their starting test team at the beginning of the tour. It would have been Toby Faletau, but Gatland has picked on form, and he's showing faith in some brilliant performances. Quagga Smith, I know more, to be honest with you, for his sevens play. He's a niggly little player, very good over the ball, abrasive, kind of a little bit like Hamish Watson. You know, he's got great go again in the collision. You know, when you hit him, you got a stick on him. But he's all action, and he's a bit of an energizer bunny for them. So, you would anticipate it'll be a very keenly contested duel between the two of them, but you're looking at two very different styles. There'll be, you know, each the respective teams will be looking for different things from each of them.
And like Jack Conan himself, he's stood up, he's going to have a cracking test series, you would hope. And the fact that he's in there in that starting 15, and on merit as well, he's become a leader and a key member of this Lions team. So I know you're a fan of Jack Conan's. You've spoken on Off the Ball before in the past about his strengths. Could have a big game tonight, and would you expect him to kind of keep his place in the test going forward if he can be solid this evening?
Yeah, well, what he's there for is to give the Lions those hard yards, those, eke out the 3 or 4 yards in close contact. You'll see him in the wide channels as well, because that's where they've been using their number eights, and he's very comfortable with ball in hand. He's a very skillful player, but ultimately it's about what he does on both sides of the ball. Defensively, you know, whether he can make those big impacts and stopping those big Springbok ball carriers. And when he has the ball himself, whether he can get that extra yard or two to make sure that the Springboks are constantly on their heels rather than on their toes in defence. Their line speed is everything to the southern teams. And if you can get them on their heels, even for a split second, that can be the difference between getting it passed away in the extremities or getting caught man and ball. So it's those small micro moments over the course of the game that will be the winning and losing of this one.
Yeah, it strikes me that you know, the Lions have come in, are coming into this test series obviously with a number of games under their belt, or the six games or whatever it was, whereas South Africa had this match against Georgia to deal with. Like, looking back on 2009, a lot of people pointed towards 2009, that the South African team back then, and they only had one test against Namibia this year. Like, do you subscribe to this that year? Do you subscribe to this theory that, you know, they are in any way undercooked, South Africa, heading into this game compared to the Lions?
I think they are completely undercooked. You know, in any test match, you have to understand that, you know, you can play all the club rugby in the world, but there's nothing quite like test match rugby. And you have to also remember that this is the highest level of test match rugby, probably akin to kind of knockout stages of Rugby World Cup. So you need to have your body ready for the impacts that are going to be coming. The speed at which the game is played at will be nothing that they'll have experienced since the Rugby World Cup final. You know, with respect to Georgia, it's not the same caliber of opposition that they're going to be encountering today. So there's no doubt that they're going to, at times, be sucking diesel. They're going to find it frenetic. They just have to try and, you know, live with that pace. And what happened previously is South Africa have managed to build up leads, and then they sit on and defend, and then, you know, find another score, and sometimes the scoreline might flatter them a little bit. I think what the Lions have to do is they have to stay in the fight, not give them easy points, not give away cheap penalties, as Pollard will keep the scoreboard ticking over, and be in the game, be within a score, one way, you know, in front or behind with 25 minutes to go. And I think that's where their superior fitness will actually show. I do think that the Springboks will improve over the course of the series because they'll get it, you know, multiple games under their belt, but there's no doubt that they are a little bit undercooked, and it, you know, the Lions have to use to that to use that to their benefit.
There's also the issue that he's the South Africans have picked seven players that tested positive for COVID in the last month. Now, you can look at that in different ways, and of course that depends on how badly their symptoms affected them in training and in the build up to this match. But Jack Nienaber picked up a bit of criticism for picking, you know, a number of players who've been affected by COVID. Is that something that is going to add to that maybe lack of match fitness compared to the Lions?
Yeah, well, I don't think any of us can really know what it's like to play a test match having had COVID. I haven't spoken to any players that have subsequently, you know, had it and then gone on. You know, you talk about different versions of COVID, long COVID, that can affect your lungs for weeks and months afterwards. You know, you're people in the street talking about that. I haven't heard so much of it from a rugby point of view, but you'd have to imagine that it's not going to aid them in any way. And again, guys like Mpimpi, you'll be keeping an eye on to see whether he is as active as he ordinarily is, you know, coming in off his wing, whether he's really struggling early on. I guess it is fortunate that all three test matches are now down being played at in Cape Town, no altitude, so that will help them. But it's not going to be something that will aid them in any shape or form, and I guess we'll know a little bit more within half an hour.
We have Alan Quinlan as well, the former Irish and Munster and Lion, on the line with us as well. Afternoon, Alan.
Afternoon, lads. Sorry, I'm a bit late to the party.
You're grand. We're biting our nails here with nervousness, but we're just talking about the South Africans and the physicality that we can expect heading into this game this evening. How do you feel about it? Are you optimistic looking at this starting 15? We obviously had the news today that Wynne Jones has had to pull out of the team, but still a strong Lions setup that, as Brian said, have had a number of games behind their belt compared to the Springboks.
Yeah, I think it's I've said this a lot in the last couple of weeks. There's a lot of uncertainty around who will start, what the best team is, what the best combinations are, and I'm not sure if Drick will agree with me, but it's certainly my opinion since the last four or five Lions tours, there's always been 10 or 12 nailed-on starters, even before the first match warm-up game happens, in my opinion. And that's not the case this time. It can be a strength or a weakness. Who knows? We'll see what happens later on once the first test match happens. But you know, I heard you're talking about physicality there. You know, they know what to expect. I believe the Lions will certainly have held some stuff back in the last couple of weeks. The opposition they've played have been very, very poor, and that would concern me. the one true test they had was the South African A game, which was more than a South African A side, to be fair. There was a lot of the guys who are involved today for South Africa were playing in that, but they raised some of those issues and concerns and exposed them last week, and that would worry me, because before the tour started, I thought the Lions were going to win the series. I've changed my mind a little bit now, given what I saw last week. And I'm not sure about this side. Maybe they'll surprise us, but I don't think it's the strongest Lions test side I've seen. I've seen a lot stronger in the last number of tours. But in saying that, there's no crowd there. And Dricko heard him saying there, South Africa are undercooked. You know, they've very little played. And the effects of what's gone on with COVID for them makes it quite uncertain. So, you know, both sides will probably tease each other out and try and get the, you know, when you haven't played matches and it's kind of like pre-season when you start up in the first couple of warm-up games, you want to try and get the fundamentals right, your scrum, your line-out, the collisions, the first-up tackles, breakdown, stuff like that. So I'm sure there are areas that both sides will want to get right, because certainly from a Lions point of view, if they're not, you know, confrontational and bring a real aggression to their game, they could be in trouble, and that will give, you know, the South Africans growing confidence when they can start to bully teams and impose their strength on them.
Where are your main worries or concerns about this Lions starting team, Quinny? Because Duane van der Merwe has got a bit of a, I know Brian said he was a little bit nervous about him on off the ball during the week, and hasn't been the only one to talk about him in the build up to this game, because, you know, even Gatland spoke about, you know, expecting him to get some verbals from the Springboks. Is he one of the areas you're concerned with, or where in this Lions starting 15 are you worried about?
Where I'm concerned is cohesion, you know, the accuracy, and some of they'd big scores in all the games they played, but they're playing guys who haven't played rugby for a while, and, you know, very weak in sides, and some of the passing and the accuracy of passing and the mistakes they've made have been very, very poor. I think the forwards have actually done well. I think there's a lot of abrasive, energetic, quick forwards that have been picked by Warren Gatland. They can play with pace and tempo, and they're all pretty physical guys. So I'm not worried about them getting bullied. I'm worried about, you know, you get one or two opportunities in the game like this, you have to take them. You have to make sure the passes are on the money. And we didn't see that. Elliot Daly hasn't played a test match at outside centre since 2016. So he's a very good footballer, offers a great opportunity with the left peg, you know, for that wiper kick. Dan Bigger, Ali Price, they've played 20 minutes together against Japan. You know, that stuff, you can't just switch it on and expect it to be perfect. Now, it can happen. They're very good players. And I'm sure Ali Price, he's swollen a couple of inches this week with the selection. And, you know, he'd be full of confidence. He's a good player. He brings a lot of pace to the breakdown. And Dan Bigger, if his head is right and, you know, he keeps control, he's a superb player. He's so competitive. Sometimes, you know, he's a bit like Sexton. You know, he doesn't shirk back from anything. And sometimes he takes the ball on a little bit too much himself. But he's a very good footballer. If they go well, I think the Lions will get parity up front. And I think they'll be very mindful of what to expect from the South Africans. So my main concerns are the back line. And obviously, Dricko would know a lot more about that than myself. You know, Robbie Henshaw, he was nailed on starter before the tour. He's been out for 3 weeks. I worry about Stuart Hogg. I think he's a very talented player. But I'm just not sure how solid he is as a fullback. And he's going to be put under a lot of pressure. Of course, he can do wonderful things in the game as well. And you mentioned van der Merwe. I would have picked him, would you believe? Lots of people are worried about his defence and if he's got to turn around from kicks. But I just think he can offer him so much, particularly if they get the line out right and they can hit him up, get him running at Pollard and Diolinde in that channel, try and engage them early enough in the game. And he's very, very difficult to stop. Of course, if Colby gets some space in him, but Colby can do that to anyone. So, it's just that cohesion piece, Shane, that I'm concerned about. But maybe they'll surprise us all, and maybe they've been working really hard behind the scenes, and they have stuff up their sleeve, and they get that accuracy right today.
Do you think Brian Stewart Hogg is a fair shout as someone maybe the South Africans might target?
Yeah, I'm sure they will in some capacity try and target him. You have to remember, Stewart Hogg is arguably one of the in-form, certainly full-backs in the world over the last 3 or 4 years. Very unlucky not to be Lions full-back, starting Lions full-back in New Zealand, you know, other than that cheekbone injury sustained in that kind of freak accident with Conor Murray. And you know, this is his third tour and it's his first test match. I was calling a game over in the Premiership about 5-6 weeks ago, where he got subbed off with 15 minutes to go and he looked as though his legs were shot. Now, it was very warm conditions, but my only concern would be, you know, has he too much rugby under his belt? He actually ended up sitting on the bench for both the semi-final and the final for Exeter. And subsequently end up losing that final. So there is something that his form hasn't quite matched what it did during the Six Nations and earlier on in Europe with Exeter. But I do feel as though he's good value because of his X factor, because of his right boot, because he's pretty good in the air and defensively, you know, he's proficient without being outstanding. You would hope that he won't have to do a huge amount of defending if you're conceding your people to the edge and making your fullback make a lot of tackles. You're in trouble anyway. So I do feel as though, you know, particularly with his having to shield for an extended period of time, it didn't do him any favors. But I do feel as though he has merited on the basis of form over the course of the last 6 months, a bit like Robbie Henshaw. I think he's a deserving star.
And when you look at names, like just looking at names on teams here, like Ali Price, like Jack Conan, Stuart Hogg, Dan Bigger, these are players you would imagine Brian picked to play with pace and tempo. Like, is the plan in Warren Gatland's head, do you think, to win this game in the first 60 minutes and then maybe try and see it out? You mentioned the South African maybe lack of fitness potentially. Like, could that be the game plan here tonight?
Listen, in a perfect world, that's what you would love. But in reality, you know, does it ever transpire against the best teams? You know, not usually. So I do think we will see a lot of kicking early on. And that's why I'm a little bit surprised at Ali Price being in at nine. We talk about his running game and his ability to be able to manipulate forwards in and around the ruck, be it the, you know, second or third defender, pull them out and then drop players in and out that are running lines off him. I think he's one of the better players at doing that. But I wouldn't say that he is regarded as one of the better box kickers out there. Conversely, Conor Murray, one of his real strengths. So it just depends on what game they try and play. I get a sense that they will not play a huge amount of rugby in their own half. And they'll do a little bit like what the box do. Be happy to, you know, put the ball up in the air, kick, contest, and then try and look at creating one-on-one opportunities for the likes of Hogg, the likes of Watson, and the likes of Van der Merwe to be able to do their thing. And, you know, a score might be a try. I think there'll be a lot of penalties and penalty kicks in this game, but I think, you know, you might see a try fest, and one or two tries could easily be the difference between the sides. It's a matter of whether you can get those X-factor players, the strike players on the ball and create enough situations for them to take their opportunity. So I think that's what both sides will look to do. You know, South Africa similarly will be looking to get Colby on the ball as much as possible. You'll see Willie Leroux coming in at first receiver, an ability to use his left foot if the Lions are pressing hard. But also, you know, he is a great knack of being able to bring in players outside him, sucking defenders in, making them commit, and then good at throwing late passes. So, you know, watch him, particularly when they get to midfield. You'll see Pollard on one side, Billy Leroux on the other side, and like all good fullbacks do, come in and take a bit of pressure off their 10 and try and play make. So, in honesty, I see quite a similar game plan, albeit I don't think that the Lions will try and be quite as confrontational as South Africa. I think they'll have to think their way around trying to find space a little bit more.
Quinny, just to ask about your fellow Munster man, Conor Murray, no doubt disappointed not to be in the starting 15 today, albeit Ali Price in there on form, and his performance against the Stormers last week was excellent. And then you see Alan Wynne-Jones back in and captaining like he'd never left. Like, Conor Murray must be sitting on that bench today, quite disappointed, but he still could have a crucial role to play.
Yeah, it's elation a couple of weeks ago to huge disappointment, I suppose, not being selected to start. I think, look, he's still involved. He's on the bench. It would be far worse if he wasn't in a 23. Ali Price played really well against the Stormers. I'll say it again, the Stormers, that's it. You know, they were totally dominant. And that's what one... Look, and if I was Ali Price, I'd be putting my hand up or knocking on the coach's door saying, you know, I played well, and you'd be looking for that feedback. And the problem for Conor was the Lions forwards were pretty much dominated, particularly in the first half in the A game last week. And it's a bit of a nightmare for any scrum half. So he didn't really get any sort of quick ball. And, you know, there's no doubt about it. Ali Price is quicker at not necessarily the technique of the pass, but actually bouncing around the place. And he's just had probably a bit zippier at getting to the breakdown. And as Drico said there, just engaging little forwards. He's quite good at bouncing out and bringing someone running on a little short line and finding a little pocket of space. So he's much younger. He's, you know, he's full of energy. And Conor, the biggest, you know, Conor's all-round game is probably, I think the other parts of his game are much stronger. You know, defensively, he's, you know, a phenomenal defender. He can poach ball. He can kick. His kicking game is really good, you know, off the base of those breakdowns. He can have shots at goal, you name it. But I think it's an indication that Warren Gatland wants to, and maybe it's Scott, Gregor Townsend as well, they want to try and get quick breakdowns, get the ball into Biggar's hands as quickly as possible, or the forwards who are going to carry. And it does make a big difference, that half a second, if you can get it away quicker, get a little bit of width. And I think that's what's really important for the Lions today. It's not about just flinging the ball wide and expecting to find space. It's about accuracy, identifying where the space is. The South Africans defend very, very aggressively, an up and in defence, particularly with their 13, Lucanu Am. And sometimes the wingers do it as well, when they come up and they stop man and ball, and they just break you down. So kick passes may be an option. You know, you've got to bring up their wingers if you're going to kick in behind. So it's getting that balance right of when Henshaw will carry, will Daly carry, and what they do after that, whether that engages their wingers. But you have to try and engage their wingers and bring them up a little bit. There's no point in firing it back to Dan Biggar and he hoofing it down the field and three or four South Africans in the backfield, because that can be very dangerous given that counter-attackability of Mapimpi and Colby. But I think it's really important that they identify space and then try and play to it. And at least worst case scenario in that situation is you may not make a line break, but you're getting a guy leg tackling you. You then have an option to place the ball in a much better situation and have a quicker breakdown of that. And then their defence they've got to get set as quick as they can. And it's difficult. So Price brings that ability to kind of sprint all over the place, get the ball away. If it works, and you know, I think there is an opportunity. And, you know, Drico will probably agree. We've heard this all our lives. You know, the big teams you play against, oh, well, move them around. That's easier said than done. You've got to do that with tempo, accuracy, intelligent kicking, and keeping that tempo going throughout the 80 minutes. And I think that's the goal. It's not just throw the ball. Because if you throw the ball around and expect to just run around the South Africans, it won't happen. Because I know from watching Jack Nienenbaar with Munster and the difference in the 2015, 16, 17 season, those 2 years that they were there, the line speed from Munster and the aggression that they had around the collision areas and the tackle, and what they did after the tackle by reloading, counter-rocking, it's just very, very difficult to cope with. And if you're not on the money with your carries and your clean-outs, no matter who you're playing, you can have all the talent in the world. So that's really the key for me is those collision areas and just really good techniques. And I think that will help the Lions then. And they can try and manage the game then, you know.
Absolutely. Now, stay with me, lads. I just have to take a quick... Go on ahead, Brian.
Sorry, if I could just interject. I agree. And I think one of the big things the Lions have to look at doing is trying to push the pass a little bit. And you might ordinarily say, don't make mistakes early on. But I think if they can find a way to stop them setting their defense and using that as an attacking weapon, the best way to do that is changing the point of contact and getting offloads late. And those small little tip-ins, you know, from the pod off nine, be it inside or out the back, and then push the pass. In a perfect world, South Africa want to be able to number up. That's what they want on a hammer defense and a hard-up defense. You want to know exactly who you have. So if you change that setup and change that shape at the last second and you get an offload away, you know, they can be severed quite badly and then very difficult to get organized quickly after that when you get in behind them. Whereas when you're playing a soft defense, you know, you're not looking to aggressively get back to the mark and then get off the line again. So I do think it's something that the Lions need to try and look to get one or two good offloads, and that could be the difference between, you know, a couple of line breaks and potential try-scoring opportunities.
Stay with us, lads. You're listening to Alan Quinlan and Brian O'Driscoll on Off the Ball on News Talk here. We're going to have more build-up. We have to take a quick ad break. The 2021 British and Irish Lions Tour on OTB Sports, brought to you with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions. Back with more build-up ahead of the 5 p.m. kickoff next.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.
Welcome back to Off the Ball on News Talk. Shane Hannan with you right through until 8 p.m. this evening, and it's Lions all the way as they begin their first test against South Africa at 5 p.m. this evening. Alan Quinlan and Brian O'Driscoll remain with me. Quinny, I know you have to go, so I might just get your final thoughts on the game this evening. How do you think this one's going to pan out this evening? A kicking game, a lot of people are talking about, but what sort of scoreline are you expecting?
I'm not sure, really. It's just so uncertain, Shane. I think it's very difficult to call. I think you would think that the Lions are in better shape as regards game minutes under the belt, sort of match fitness for the players individually. I think there's a lack of cohesion there. If they get the breakdown right, and I think have a little bit of variety in attack, I think they can win the game. I'm not that concerned about them up front. I think the scrum line-out will be pretty okay. So it's just having a bit of variety in attack, kicking intelligently, and the key is the breakdown. I think the back row battles, Vermeulen not playing for them is a huge loss. Quagga Smith very good in the ball, poaching the ball, but he's not as big, doesn't bring the same power. So I'm just worried about what I saw last week in the A game, and I think I'm as I said, I've kind of changed my mind, and I think South Africa will win this by, you know, I think the game will be pretty close, but I just think South Africa might get the emotional energy right for this game and might just sneak it.
Christoph Quinney, you're filling me full of pessimism there. I love it. but maybe realism as well. It's going to be a tough encounter, no doubt. Physical encounter from 5 p.m. Thanks a million, Quinney. We'll chat to you later on.
Cheers. Thanks, lads.
We might just go briefly to Neil Tracy as well. I know he's still on the line, and it's Neil and Brian O'Driscoll on live commentary for us from 5 p.m. this evening. Neil, just briefly, for anyone who hasn't heard the team news this afternoon, there was one injury update and pullout from this Lions starting team.
Yeah, there was, Shane. Just in case anyone didn't hear it earlier on this afternoon, we'll bring you up to speed on it. So Wyn Jones at loosehead prop has been forced to withdraw. He picked up a shoulder injury in training. We're unsure if it's the same shoulder injury that he actually injured initially against South Africa A 10 days ago in the process of scoring his try in that match. But unfortunately for the 29-year-old Welshman, he's had to withdraw from the opening test this evening. And that means that Rory Sutherland of Scotland is going to come in and start alongside Luke Cowan-Dickey and Tadhg Furlong in the front row, as he did in last week's game against the Stormers, and as he has done for every game he has started so far this tour, with Tadhg Furlong as well. Those two players have been in the same sort of selection pod, as it were, over the course of these five matches they've played together. And it means then Mako Vunipola is going to come onto the bench. So the full team for the Lions is Rory Sutherland, Luke Cowan-Dickey and Tadhg Furlong in the front row. Maro Itoje and Alan Wyn-Jones in the second row. Alan Wyn-Jones captaining the side. Courtney Laws, Jack Conan and Tom Curry in the back row. And then a back line, 9 and 10 combination of Ali Price and Dan Bigger. Duane van der Merwe and Anthony Watson on the wings, Robbie Henshaw and Elliot Daly in the centre with Stuart Hogg at full back. And I will quickly run through the South African team as well, because we didn't mention that last time round. And they are looking pretty similar to the side that actually played as South Africa A against the Lions 10 days ago. Just six changes for them from that match. So the players who've kept their places in the forward pack are Trevor Enyekane and the second row pairing of Eben Etzebeth and Franco Mostert, with Peter Steph Du Toit continuing in number seven. Oxen Che comes in at loosehead prop. Bongi Mbonambi is in at hooker. And then you see a Khaleesi recovered now from COVID-19 alongside Quagga Smith at number eight in the back row. And then the back line, it is five of the seven that would have started last time out against the Lions. But crucially, it's the entire backline seven that started the 2019 Rugby World Cup final against England. Faf de Klerk at out half, Andre Pollard at out half, Damien Delaney and Lucanio Am in the centres, Cheslin Colby and Makazole Mapimpi on the wings, and then the veteran, 31-year-old, 62 caps, Vili Leroux at fullback, with a bench then of Malcolm Marx, Stephen Kitchop, Franz Malerva, Lou Diager, Reinhard Elstadt, Herschel Yankees, Elton Yankees, and then Damien Willemse wearing the number 23 shirt. So that's the team news for you, Shane. Kick off just over 10 minutes away.
Great stuff, Neil, and it will be Brian O'Driscoll alongside you on commentary. And Brian, I just wanted to ask you about Robbie Henshaw. Some interesting quotes from him in the build-up to this game. He was talking about Bundi Aki and saying, he's been great. I've been asking him to give me a hand wherever he can in training. He trained the house down on Tuesday. It was unbelievable. He's just bringing that physicality that we're going to expect from the Springboks. And he talked about how he was brilliant off the pitch as well, looking through video and helping him prepare for this game. Like, how important is that in a Lions squad for the wider squad? Like, Bundy might not be involved, but for the players not in the matchday squad, they still have an important role.
Yeah, they totally do. And I guess the challenge, you know, for those players comes in week two and three when they realise the writing's on the wall that they're not going to be selected or they're not in contention to play in the test match. And sometimes, unfortunately, that's when players go off tour. But it's great to hear, and unsurprisingly from Bundy, with, you know, that's his attitude. You know, he will be disappointed not to have been in the 23, I'm sure. You know, he probably was an outside bet maybe to be that in a combination with Robbie Henshaw in that first test. He's the sort of player that Warren Gatland likes, gives you aggressive go forward, reasonably good distributor. But I think on the balance of things, Gatland probably has things right, and particularly with that left foot of Elliot Daly. But it is a huge component of what Lions Tours is about the selflessness of offering something when you're not going to get anything in return. And to help one another along, because you have to remember, this team has been forced together in a very short period of time. It's a brilliant but crazy concept, really. And again, and then you're pitted against one of the best teams in the world. So you need everybody to try and row in behind the concept as much as they can, and give of themselves, and give the energy to those that are the lucky ones to pull on the jerseys in that first test.
What have you made, Brian? A lot has been said about the I guess the tete-a-tete between Warren Gatland and Rassie Erasmus online and otherwise, and press conferences and everything else in the build-up to this game. The mind games, even Gatland saying the South Africans had their ego a bit dented after the domination of the set piece in the South Africa A win. The win over South Africa, or the South Africa A game. And even the fact that Rassie Erasmus is still the water boy for South Africa this evening. Like, has it all been a bit tiresome, or does it add a little bit of juice to the whole thing?
Like, it's, you know, you I suppose you expect it with Gats, and he's, you know, he's always been someone that's liked to, you know, throw a grenade in there every so often. You know, I think you know, a lot of it is just to distract away from their players and take some of the, you know, onus and pressure on their own shoulders. I saw that on Super Sport here, which is the world feed, I saw them having a little meeting at halfway there a couple of minutes ago, and they had a couple of civil words. It wasn't a long conversation, but it was it all seemed pretty chirpy. There was no hands over mouths, so, you know, the lip readers out there will be able to decipher exactly what was said. But I'm sure it looked pretty cordial, and I think they'll just be both looking forward to, you know, their two teams going to battle, and all of, you know, whatever's been said previously will be forgotten on that first whistle.
Briefly, Brian, then, it sounds like if I'm reading your comments correctly, you're going for maybe a narrow Lions win. How do you see this going?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. Maybe a one score victory, just on the back that South Africa will be so undercooked. I do feel as though this Lions team might be able to deal with the physicality of having gotten a shock against South Africa A last week. That they'll know that they're really going to have to up their. Their aggression levels and make sure that, when they do have the ball, they make better use of it, be it through their kick game or their passing game. I do think it's going to be an arm wrestle. It's not going to be for the faint-hearted. But I just, on the balance of things, I do feel as though the Lions might just sneak this one, which would be brilliant for the series, because it would be inconceivable for the Springboks to lose the series within two. So, they'd come back fighting next week. But for now, I think maybe just the Lions to edge it.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.